Okay, John Butler's with us on Triple J. John, the show I saw last night had a lot of energy and the crowd was certainly into it. Was that a kind of indicative of the types of performances that you've been giving around Perth for, what is it, a couple of years now?
Yeah, 2 to 3 years. Yeah, normally it's been, yeah, well, that's how passionate I normally play and that's how much they normally get into it when they come to see me. So it's, yeah, they kind of, I think, they get moved by the passion and therefore become passionate themselves, I guess you can say.
Do you get, yeah, I mean, the audience feedback must be important for you.
Yeah, yeah, well, I think about a year or so ago, I kind of realized that performing has a lot to do with them, heaps actually. And if they don't put something into it, well, then it's kind of hard for me to put something into it. It's like a two-way street. You push out energy, then they push it back, and then you push it back out, and then you push it back, and then you start just like, we both start playing with it.
Does it take the music to places that you maybe thought that you'd reach one day, but you get there quicker because of it?
If I think I understand that question, yeah.
I mean, does it sort of bring out a performance side of you that even surprises you? Like, do you start doing stuff on stage?
Yeah. Well, if they're pumping energy at you, you do things that you didn't think you'd be capable of, or you're just a little bit more confident, and the freedom of energy that comes out, you can just be a little bit more spontaneous, I guess, and just really kind of channel some good stuff out to them. And
the trio that you've got at the moment, there's a good chemistry between the three of you, good understanding.
Yeah. Well, we've been working with each other for a year and a half now, and the body language and the music language between us is good. So, because I'm kind of I improvise a lot around with the song, so they know if I kind of give them a nod here or there, that extra three bars here, an extra bar there, an extra bar there. So, no, it's, they're excellent guys, Gavin Shoesmith and Jason McGann. They rock my world. And they're excellent.
How long have you been playing guitar for?
I started when I was 16. And
how old are you now?
I'm 24. And basically started kind of, I had an anti-lead problem for about, I'd say a good 5 years. I couldn't stand lead. I was just doing a lot of strumming. Then I came across some open tuning and started doing lead and finger picking in the last 3 years.
Why did you hate lead initially?
I saw a lot of wanky kind of stuff going on, and I think the teacher that I did have, my first teacher, one of my only teachers, kind of he taught me for a month and then chose not to teach me, but kept on teaching all my other friends who were all lead freaks. And I was just like, he didn't want to teach me, but he kept on teaching them, and everybody was talking about my back, and I just went, nah. I actually quit guitar for a year and just went, I don't want to be a part of this guitar wank world. And so I just kind of sang a lot of emotional and a lot of kind of songs that are close to my heart, but really strummy, like up until 3 years ago. And then 3 years ago, I started getting into notes again. And I'm like, oh, this is all right. I started doing it my way. And
was it because your favorite guitar players were playing in that sort of strummy way?
I do not really have any favorite guitarists, to be honest, too. There's a few now that I'm into. I like Jeff Lang nowadays and stuff like that. But I've always enjoyed electric guitar players and lead players, but haven't listened to much, to tell you the honest truth.
That would surprise a lot of people because you've been hailed as a great guitarist around this neck of the woods, picking up a few whammies in the past few years.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, I think my influences come from more of everything I've heard around me subliminally ever since I was like hanging out with my mom, listening to Elton John, hanging out with my brother with Black Sabbath, and then listen to a bit of Soundgarden and then a little bit of Dead Can Dance, and it just don't really go for any one type of music. I hardly even have any CDs, and so a lot of it's just coming through me subliminally, what I hear on the radio, what's around me, basically. So yeah,
and you incorporate that into the sounds of the music that you make, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think if I want to have some kind of Celtic thing going on, because I've always liked bagpipe music or something like that, then it'll be right in there with a rock and roll lead break that I may have heard from Jimi Hendrix, or say someone out of AC/DC, which is two opposite worlds in a lot of ways, but there's room for all of it, I reckon.
Bagpipe music?
Well, I'd say Celtic music, but I wasn't really into Celtic music until like maybe a couple of years ago when I just started listening to a little bit of it here and there. But bagpipes were just always something from a young age that always gave me the chills. It was always something a real connection to, I think, roots in a way.
What's the accent? Where were you born?
I was born in California, and I came here in 86. I'm half Australian, half American, and my dad's Australian, and my parents got divorced, blah, 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 blah. And I've been here basically 15 years, and I live here. This is my home.
I couldn't imagine, though, bagpipe music in California being, on the hit parade over there.
Well, as I said, I came here when I was 10, or like 9, so I heard most of it over here. Yeah, before that, I wasn't really listening to much music other than my brother's glam rock music in his room.
Clam rock?
Glam rock.
Oh, glam rock.
Clam rock, yeah.
I know seafood's big in Perth, but I was wondering what clam rock was.
No. No.
All right, could be an interesting genre for someone to pick up and run with in the future. The Ben Harper comparisons I've noticed floating around as well, but he's not necessarily a reference point for you?
No, not really. Not really at all. I mean, I've seen a concert of his, and I really respect what he does immensely. I've seen him play, and it's a very inspiring thing. And at the same time, I've heard a few of his albums and really liked it. But in a lot of ways, I try to stay away from Ben, actually, because the tunings that we use are really similar, and we're talking about similar things in a lot of ways, the consciousness level of the music. So I don't want to subliminally pick anything up from Ben, because we're already very kind of sometimes close as it is. So I like what he does, I respect what he does, and yeah, he rocks. Yeah. But just try to, if I know I'm very similar to something by just an intuitive thing, by just, you know, like almost a coincidental type of thing, it's good to maybe just veer away from it so you don't really subliminally pick up music. You know, make a riff, God, this rocks, man, this rocks, and no, it's a Ben Harper song. You've been listening to too much Ben Harper in your sleep or something, so yeah.
And if you stop listening to it or you don't listen to it that much, then you can answer the criticism or the comparisons which might come from some people.
And if I make something up that sounds like somebody, then I don't really have a problem with it sounding like somebody else, because that's just, like, there's patterns in music, reoccurring patterns. I'm sure you've noticed this being a DJ for so long. There's certain things, certain lead breaks, certain lyrics, certain things that just reoccur, and people not ripping each other off, they're just similar ideas, you know, great ideas.
And even when you're using open tunings or weird tunings, people are experimenting with that all the time now.
Yeah, and there's constant things that everybody's going to do, you know. Like Jimi Hendrix was pulling off a lot of bloody old blues things, you know, and same with Ben Harper. You listen to a lot of Ben Harper, you hear a lot of old blues players, you know. And so, and when I get on the guitar, I'm like, my grandfather was an old blues player in Nanup. And I know there's just things that I'm doing that are just a blues thing. It's just a blues thing that you'll pick up if you're in that tuning with the slide. And everybody will come across it. Or maybe grandpa's channeling it through me too, you don't know. But all the same, like, yeah, there's just things everybody's going to come across, I think. It's kind of a coincidence at the same time.
How do you write songs? Is there a formula for you?
The music usually comes first, and then kind of a melody in my head. And then usually try to find something that I'm passionate about, something that I'm into, something. And it usually has a lot to do with politics or environment, because that's what's going on for me at the moment. That's what I see what's going wrong with the world and this beautiful country that we live in, is that politics and business and the environmental side of all that, those things I could sing about passionately every time. And I do think, in a way, if you got certain information, I affiliate myself with certain forest crew and certain other activists, try to get some good information that some of the papers won't print, and then I can put it into a song, or I could use it in between my song banter. And for me, music's about educating people, and it's about, in a way, it's highly religious. In a way, it's speaking the word of kind of earth, which is kind of, in a way, my religion. And so, yeah, if I write songs about that, it's very easy to bring up passion every time and put everything into it. And that's my formula, basically, to, yeah, speak from the heart about the issues I think are important. And if not so much heart issues, because there's not a lot of heart issues going on, but I'm sure if there were there, they would be there. But
you mean sort of like love, romance?
Yeah. And when that does come up, it does come up, but I can't write albums of it, you know. It's
that sort of connection that you make with your own music, are you finding the connection with the audience an easy thing to then, you know, get across to them?
I think a lot of people, actually, I might be a bit naive in saying this, but I think a lot of people are hanging out for a bit of music that's semi, every genre, I guess, every artist has its own little bit of something that he's on about, but I think a lot of people are hanging out for a bit of conscious music about politics and the environment. There's a lot of crap going on, and we see it all around us in the world. And I think everybody was too afraid to write about it in the 80s and the 90s because they just were over it from the 60s and 70s. But I think, in a way, there's a time for it now. I don't think everybody should do it. It'd be too heavy and depressing to go to every gig and talk about it all. But, you know, some artists have to be doing it. And in a way, to me, I feel like it's my duty. Otherwise, I feel like I'm just doing too much me kind of stuff, you know? I mean, I have a lot, as I said, I have a lot of friends down in the forest right now, stopping the old growth from getting cut down. And to me, that's why I see it's important, is the earth and what's really going on, you know, and you know, all these uranium mines land. And I start thinking, if I don't sing about some of these issues, I might as well just, you know, take my guitar out to the camps and sing out there and lock on, rather than, you know, it has to, I have to be doing something with my music, basically. So,
and I agree with you, actually. I think that there's a sense of hopelessness amongst a large proportion of the population. But if they see some music which is confirming what they believe or the hope that they have in their head, it brings a sort of an awareness and an awakening within them.
Yeah, it's that energy thing. The more energy you can accumulate, like that, the more the movement happens. And sound is a powerful thing. I'm sure you know that too. I mean, it's a powerful thing on its own. You put words with it, conscious words with it, and you'll... People have come up to me after gigs going, I'm going down the forest, who do I call? I mean, they're inspired by it, you know? They're not so much inspired by TV or the government, because the government's constantly telling them that they're, you know, they got to stay inside because there's too much crime, and, you know, you got to work your ass off, and they're constantly trying to oppress them mentally. But if you inspire them with music, spiritually and mentally, yeah, it's amazing the movement that you can create. And I think they want that, you know. I think they're looking for a little bit of that.
Yeah, that must be just so pleasing to be a performer and see that flow on effect.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it makes me, it reconfirms that I shouldn't put my guitar down and go lock on, that maybe that there's, I'm holding up my own front of the kind of cause, I guess you can say.
Every little bit helps, doesn't it? I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true.
Yeah, it's true, and it is true. It's every little bit helps. And if you believe in what you're saying and you really put everything you got, people are not stupid, you know, they're very intuitive, they know when you're doing it, and you may sound cliched or whatever it may be, but if it's from the heart and it's real, they're going to know it's real, you know, and they're going to feel it's real, and they're going to walk away from that gig going out and, you know, trying to make their lives better, or find a way that they can incorporate what they love into maybe making the world a better place, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, the feeling that you've been getting across in your music has certainly been going down well in Perth the last couple of years, but you've remained pretty close to Western Australia. You haven't sort of toured that much.
No. got just kind of carried away with things, I guess. I did a lot of down south tours, and it's just built up this year, really. Like, you know, getting 200-300 people to gigs, and kind of finished the album, the latest album, in December last year. So I've been meaning to get out, but there's always been constantly these other tours and other things coming up. So now the Waifs are going to help me out a little bit and take me over there. And they're great people. The Waifs rock. They're excellent people. And so I'm going to be going to Geelong and Melbourne. And I've got a few gigs of my own there. And
do you think you'll find an audience easily in the eastern states?
I wouldn't know. As I said, you know, I've lived here 15 years, but all 15 have been in WA. And I try never to assume anything. In a lot of ways, I want to see if it's going to work just as good as it does over here, you know? I mean, I want to... No, it's not a one-off, one-state wonder type of thing, you know? So, I mean, I think, as I said, people are wanting to hear some consciousness, and they're wanting to see some passion. And not that there isn't any passion out there, but I reckon they might like a bit of mine, perhaps.
Yeah, and I think the music fans over here are pretty credible music fans, too. The people who were at your gig last night, they look like people who appreciate good music, and that's what they were hearing. Yeah. They certainly were hearing.
Yeah, and so that's going to take a while to build up over East, too, I'm sure. You can't expect to rock up over East... Unless you have shitloads of, you know, radio airplay and, you know, a number one hit or something. Like, you're not going to be able to go over the East the first time and get 300 to your crowd and get all the appreciation that you might want or deserve. But you work at it, you know, and this is just a start. I'll go over there solo this time around because I can't really afford to bring the band over there. I want to be able to pay them good, you know, and decently for how brilliant they are with helping me. And so I'm going to go around there the first time, go up the top end, do a tour of WA again, make a little bit of money and give everybody what they, you know, they want, because it'll be a few months. Then I'll go back over there with the band. I think I'll just go on permatour for like 3 or 4 years until, you know, until the next step comes. And the next step is just doing what I've done over here in the eastern states. So I'll be back over there quite a lot, I think.
Okay. And also someone who you mentioned just earlier, Jeff Lang. I mean, he's toured his ass off, hasn't he, for years now?
He's a hard-working man, and he's very good at what he does, extremely good at what he does. He kind of leaves my jaw on the ground every time I go to a gig of his. He's commendable.
He's a good inspiration, isn't he?
Yeah, for finger picking and open tuning, yeah, and solo performing, he's great. We totally speak about different things and we have different styles, but yeah, he's good.
And the dedication is similar to the obvious dedication that you have towards your music.
Right, yeah, definitely. He's definitely dedicated. The man does work at it, yeah. very, very well. He's good at what he does. I constantly tell people that, and they always say, "You're a great guitarist, you're a great guitarist." I just go, "See Jeff Lang." If you like me, you'll like Jeff.
Yeah. Listen, great to meet you. Good luck, John, with the future in the music. Yeah, and look forward to further releases. But the album at the moment's got some very fine pieces on it. So,
thank you. Yeah.
Okay, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Take care.